Better Leaders, Better Schools, episode number 17.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
In high school, they have been taught for several years to sit down, shut their mouth, and do what I say. Now I'm telling them to walk and talk and move around and collaborate. So it takes them a while. So we work on some ideation training. We work on collecting and connecting. We work on things like that. We watch TED Talks. We get out some Fast Company articles, so on and so forth.
Hey, this is Daniel Bauer from Better Leaders, Better Schools. I help school leaders create a winning culture, focus on the essential, and lead with courage and integrity. The blog and podcast was made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Get more content and resources at betterleadersbetterschools.com. Better leaders, do you need some winning leadership phrases? Download my free gift to you, the 15 Phrases of Effective School Leaders. The 15 Phrases of Effective School Leaders is an MP3 where I share a variety of phrases that have served me so well over the years in all my leadership positions. Get it now for free by texting phrases to 33444. That's phrases, P-H-R-A-S-E-S, to 33444, or by visiting the website betterleadersbetterschools.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Listen to this. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And now it's time for some 5-star reviews. Chris Nessie writes, "Excellent education podcast. Daniel brings a fresh approach to this topic of leadership and is creating content on a regular basis that you can learn from and count on. Whether you're a school leader, aspiring school leader, or not, this podcast is relevant and will provide value if you're an educator." And I know Chris, personally, I'm a part of the Edu Podcast Network, and Chris has an awesome podcast called The House of EdTech that I sincerely ask you to check out or visit his website, chrisnessie.com. Better Leaders, Better Schools guest Don Wetrick is the innovation coordinator at Noblesville High School, just outside Indianapolis, Indiana. He is the author of Pure Genius, Building a Culture of Innovation and Taking 20% Time to the Next Level. Wetrick has worked as a middle school and high school teacher, educational and innovation consultant, and educational speaker. Don is passionate about helping students find their educational opportunities, providing them with the digital tools they need to give them a competitive edge. Don has lectured across the U.S. and Europe about collaboration, social media use, and work environments that enable innovation. He was honored by Centric for the Indiana Innovation Award for his work in innovation and education. Most importantly, Don works with educators, students, and entrepreneurs to bring innovation and collaborative skills into education. Ladies and gents, I present to you Don Wetrick.
What's going on, Daniel?
Not much. So excited for you to be here. You're a pure genius yourself, so I cannot wait to dig into your work, promote that to the audience, and pick your brain about what you do with your students and leadership in general. So, Don, let's hit the ground running. What inspired you to pursue a career in education?
You know, it's funny. I tried not to be in a career in education. Everybody in my family was an educator. My sister was a deaf education teacher. My dad was a guidance counselor, and before that was a industrial arts teacher back in the glory days of that program. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom, which by definition makes her a teacher. And I promised myself there'd be no way I'd get into education. And I don't know, man. It's a weird calling, you know? And actually 3 years out of college, I was working downtown Indianapolis, ironically enough, for a think tank. And I don't know. And all of a sudden, I kind of got my way into it and didn't like the way I felt at the night and that I wasn't really bringing purpose to anybody except repackaging some information. And so kind of found my way back, just like a lot of educators. Once you're infected, that whole family dynamic kicks in.
Yeah, they could definitely mess you up. So how would you describe your leadership style, Don, and how did you develop this style?
My leadership style has a lot to do with how I was brought up. My parents, looking back, they probably think it's funny now, but they allowed me to at times get in trouble. I mean, this is the classic, you know, don't touch the stovetop, Donnie. Don't trust the stovetop, Donnie. This, and all of a sudden you touch it and you burn yourself and you're like, okay, Sarah, here you listen and you learned. that was kind of the case. And growing up, they allowed me to make mistakes, and I'd learn from them. And I was one of those stubborn kids, the way I had to do it. So I think it's one of their motives. And that'd probably be one of the main factors of why I have this class that I do, is that I want them to learn by doing, and failing is not just a part of it. It's essential, because if they're going to start something, if they want to create something, if they want to design something, it's got to be terrible at first, because you can't do anything perfectly first time. So right. We had this crazy idea that we wanted to have a class where it was built on improvement and not on taking one test and making sure you get an A the first time. And so, yeah, a lot of, well, this is going to sound familiar, a lot of freedom, autonomy, and mastery, which if you're picking up on that, you're like, hey, you're stealing that from Daniel Pink. And my answer is yes. Yes, I am. I took a lot from Dan's TED Talk from, was that 5+ years ago? And that was kind of the genesis of the class.
I like the idea of learning from failure, but I think school leaders and teachers have a hard time incorporating that into their culture. So how do you build that into your class? How do you build that and spread it throughout a school to make it safe to fail?
Well, first of all, if you don't adapt to this, it's at your own peril. If there's an administrator or principal listening, or heck, even parents, this is learning. So convincing some superintendents and admin, I guess that's my calling right now. And I guess why it's so important that I shamelessly promote what my students are doing. Let me repeat that. I shamelessly want to promote what they're doing because I'm at Noblesville High School and just outside of Indianapolis, Indiana, and they're okay with taking a risk. So it's in these moments that we take risks that I want to show people that, hey, it's okay. Ironically enough, I was just having a conversation with an educator. He's just outside of Charleston, South Carolina. And this is a preparatory high school, and all the parents are really, really, really into grades so they can get to that college of choice. And I he's even having a hard time showing that it's not just necessarily about the grade. You right. know, doing something and just making sure you get an A on your first try, that's dangerous, man. Really, really dangerous. So this environment, circling back to what you asked, this environment that I want to create, I guess it takes some convincing for others. But as we move along and as we do things in my classroom, I'm hoping to lower the threat or ease tension, or like I said, do some hand holding to let some people give this a try.
So let me ask you this. Do you have a favorite example of a student taking a risk that maybe surprised you in a certain way or whatever? But just, yeah, that favorite story about risk taking.
I've got too many. That's one thing that I love is that, you know, when I first started this class was just like anything. It was not good. This isn't like my fifth year. And those first couple of years, you know, there was about 20 to 30% of the class that I could hang my hat on. I'm like, hey, these are some great things. And the other kids just didn't get it. Now it's the norm. So to say I've got a favorite story is like saying which Beatles song is my favorite. There's too many. One that's coming off the top of my head, had a student last year, Courtney, who, she didn't know what she wanted. And this is very common for the innovation class. You start off going like, I don't know what I'm going to work on. And then after a while, you get this idea or this realization of what am I going to limit myself to? So Courtney was one of those that started off a little scared. And we either start off with what do you love or what bothers you? And one thing that she loved was nutrition and healthy eating. And what bothered her was a lot of times the poorest citizens eat the least healthy. So, in her digging and we were kind of brainstorming some things, she runs across the 60 Minutes episode. I think it was 60 Minutes. And she does this research on Detroit has this thing called the Fresh Bucks program. And, the farmer's market partners up with the SNAP benefit people. And, you can basically, they'll match you at that farmer's market what you would get in food stamps. And so she's like, why not here? And she partners up and I could make this into a whole podcast, but she does it. you know, age 18, and all of a sudden she's working with community leaders. And even the people at the farmer's market and their leadership team is like, well, how do you do this? And how do we make them, you know, currency? And she's like, well, we've got a really expensive laser engraver. She gets like a micro grant, gets a bunch of balsa wood. And unless you have a really like $20,000 laser engraver, you can't copy this. And poof, she makes her own currency. She sets it up. She just runs. And so, you know, we talk about wanting to make an impact on the world. Well, she's allowing our citizens there in Noblesville to not only eat healthier, she's creating awareness for the farmer's market. She's creating awareness for healthy eating. And then she's bringing real value to people that, who notoriously haven't necessarily eaten healthy, to start rethinking that and provide them basically, a matching program to, it's not a complete one-to-one match, but at least, you know, basically some extra money for them to eat healthy from the farmer's market.
I know it's tough to pick a favorite Beatles song, so mine is Sgt. Pepper's. I'm going to put you on the spot. You have to pick one.
Okay, if I had to pick one, oh, it's going to sound like I'm trippy and weird, but I'm either going to have to – see, I like Revolver, so I'm either going to have to say For No One or I probably shouldn't pick two from the same album, but I'd have to say Tomorrow Never Knows because it's really out there.
Happiness Is a Warm Gun was my second.
Okay, you can have that. That's cool. So you're a – okay, you're a White Album guy. That's cool.
Absolutely. Love the Beatles. Grew up with them. So we're talking about setting up safe spaces for kids to fail so that real learning can really happen. And I appreciate your authenticity in this podcast. I also love asking guests, what's been your worst leadership mistake and what have you learned from it?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad you asked that. I wrote a book. It's called Pure Genius, Creating Culture of Innovation and Taking 20% Time Next Level. And I hated to write this because when you really want to show your true sides, it can hurt. I did a horrible job of not inviting others to the table. I was not always at Noblesville in my previous job. When I started this class, I was always on the lookout for my students in my class. And along the way, there would probably be some really great opportunities for me to reach out to other teachers in the building. And I didn't, and I blew it. And you know, I've since learned the error of my ways and you know, I think I picked up Simon Sinek's book, Leaders Eat Last, and was even more magnified on what I did wrong. But yeah, I mean, bringing value to others is what I do for my students, but I totally missed out the bringing value to other educators should be a part of my mission too. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to write a book. It's one of the reasons why I like to talk to other administrators and teachers and things like that and promote them. You know, I know that you're a big fan of Seth Godin, and you know, he's been kind of a model for that too, is that that guy works really hard to make you shine and find opportunities for you as well.
Now, leaders struggle with blind spots. So, Don, was that something that somebody had to show you, that you weren't inviting other adults, I guess, to the table?
Or they showed me. I made some enemies, you know? There's no two ways about it. I did a horrible job I did a good job of promoting my students.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I made some people mad. And even saying this out loud now, I feel uncomfortable about it because I hate it when, you know, no one likes it when they're wrong. But I was wrong. And again, I'm not going to make that mistake again. Now, like, you know, just not too long ago, there was it's a long story, but I've had some people reach out to me in areas that aren't my expertise, but they do fall under some areas expertises of some other teachers that I know, and that they would like some of these contacts or these experiences. So, yeah, for sure. And the other thing is that I have my students grade me at least twice a year.
Yeah.
And I remember it was almost a year ago to the day, at the really late December, during their finals, one of the questions I asked them was, what am I doing wrong? So, they know, at least by the end of the semester, they know that they're not really working for me. I'm working for them. Mm-hmm. And when I'm not serving my customer base correctly, then I want to know. And by the way, sometimes they come up with every now and then they come up with things that are just completely bogus. But for the most part, I'm trying to listen to them and trying to get feedback. I actually like criticism. I know that it's aimed to make me better. So my blind spots are hopefully a little less, because I'm hoping that my students won't be afraid of, because they weren't last year. They were brutally honest, right? So, yeah, I'm hoping to constantly get that feedback.
What's the process you go in terms of collecting that feedback twice a year? What does that look like to have your students grade you?
Well, so actually, that's just it's twice a year. The real thing that I'm in love with, and I'm going to get back to what you're asking, is we have a thing called the Roth IRA. And that's the method in which we run in this class. And the Roth is the big group, the IRA is the small. And essentially every great project we have in this class, the R is realization. You're in the shower, you're running, whatever. You have this really great idea for a business or a product or an app or a service organization. And as soon as that realization hits, you have to go to O, which is open discussion. You have to get your idea out and bring it to the group. And the T is tussle. We tussle. That is, we fight. So a lot of times what you think is a great idea, some of my students may not think that it is. And oftentimes when you tussle, those two kids back and forth that they think that they're both right, that leads to really good homogeneous grouping. So that's how a lot of times groups are formed in the class. And then that goes to the IRA part. And this is the hard part of the hard parts. I is for ideation and prototyping. That thing that you said you're going to do, you do. And I always say this is the difference between January 1st and January 2nd. It's fun to say January 1st, you're going to lose weight. It's fun to say you're going to stop, you know, whatever. January 2nd kicks in, you have to do the things you do. So that's why every project we have is 2 weeks long. And at the end of the 2 weeks, I want you to reflect. And I don't have my students reflect in a way like in a flowery, you know, over the course of human time. And I don't want to. I want to know what they're struggling with. I want to know what's going wrong. I also want to know what's going right. But the things that you said you're going to do, are you doing it? And oftentimes they give me insight on, here's what I need from you, Wetrick. And so in little small ways, I'm getting feedback from what I may or may not be doing correct. Again, hoping to build that trust where they are honest with me. And that reflection leads to your A, which is adjustment. I'm starting to realize that just because they blog, it's really good when I have a one-on-one conference with all of them. So they can hear themselves talk out loud and make those own adjustments. And by the way, when you lead to that adjustment, it circles back to that new R, which is a new realization, which means you need to have another open discussion, needs you to have another fight, which means you have to another prototype number two. It is a never ending cycle. And that's truly the way we run the class.
That's beautiful in terms of how you set up your class and have this continuous cycle of improvement, running projects every couple of weeks, that constant reflection and adjustment, and then getting back into a new project. You know, your audience right now is current principals, people that are wanting to get into school leadership, and I know they're going to be fired up about what you do, Don. So can you explain a little bit more? Take some time here. Talk about your class. Talk about the book. And then thirdly, what advice do you have for principals that want to get this going in their schools tomorrow?
Okay, so my mind's racing so much, you may have to have me circle back. You asked like three or four things.
Let's go. Them down. Don't worry about it.
All right, cool. So what I do, so I have a class, which is officially called Innovation in Open Source Learning. And in this class, I have students pursue things that they want to pursue. Crazy, right? And so the innovation comes, part of the title is because I guess it's an innovative class of what we're trying to do. So the misnomer is it's got to be all tech driven. That's not true. But essentially, a lot of times our students, truly for like the first 6 to 8 weeks, we work on training. We learn on culture building. Because in high school, they have been taught for several years to sit down, shut their mouth, and do what I say. Now I'm telling them to walk and talk and move around and collaborate. So it takes them a while. So we work on some ideation training. We work on collecting and connecting. We work on things like that. We watch TED Talks. We get out some Fast Company articles, so on and so forth. We read people like, you know, Dan Pink. We read people like, actually, I just got introduced to a guy named Peter Diamandis. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, and I like it because these are the things I read, right? I mean, I'm not trying to offend, and I will probably offend some of your audience. I'm not a Harry Potter guy. I'm a Daniel Pink guy. I'm a Seth Godin guy. Simon Sinek guy, right? So it's those things that we like to read, Ben Horowitz, things like that. And so when we read these, the kids start to pick up on it. And then they start creating their own culture. And along the way, they're testing me, right? And we get to know how we work, and we get to, you know, understand Roth IRA. And then usually by about week six, we do a project as a class just to model the behavior, just to model the whole Roth IRA mentality. And so basically we write a proposal. Here's the golden ticket. Okay, superintendents. All right, principals. Here it is. Actually, teachers. We write our proposal on what you want to do, but we include a list of standards that we believe they're going to knock out. That way, they're taking ownership of their education and substantiating their work. So when a principal asks, are you hitting the standards? Oh my gosh, are we? So many. And so then we go back into the whole everything is incremented by 2 weeks. And I've got a lot of questions like, why 2 weeks? Because I see the genius hour thing is starting to grow. And I'm not trying to be mean, but when people say, hey, our genius hour project this year is, and I don't know what to say because there is no this year. Right. You should be adjusting and pivoting all year long. So at the end of 2 weeks, again, they can adjust and reflect and everything like that. But so after the end of, and by the way, people say, you know, why 2 weeks again? And I'm like, could you learn how to play the piano in 2 weeks? And the answer is yes, just not well. And I liken it in the sense that if you can discover all the things that you don't like, awesome. I get a lot of, you know, I just did an interview not too long ago on Inside Quest, and I mentioned the fact that a lot of kids say that they want to learn how to code. And coding's not my thing. I've got some students that do it well, and I've got some students that think that they're going to love it, and it's just not for them. So what if you said, hey, I'm going to work on some coding skills. I'm going to learn how to code. Well, if after 2 weeks you hate it, great. Move on to something else. Now, I also don't like serial failures. I mean, like if you made an entire semester out of every 2 weeks something different, I might. But that hasn't happened yet. So a lot of times, a kid wants to work on, you know, project X, and he ends up finding that in that process, he doesn't like it. But what he does like is, and that's what he kind of discovers. That's kind of how the class runs. I grade them basically on their reflections and the things that they said they're going to do. Are they doing it? I do have to say it's very, management intensive. On the surface, it looks like it's kind of like the Seinfeld show. It's a class about nothing, but it's about everything. And it's exhausting, honestly. So that's one of the reasons why I wrote a book. It was really on a reflection of my own on my first couple of years of having the class. I do a fair amount of traveling now in my in-between times. And then we're trying to grow this class. I want this in every high school in the United States. And then we'll worry about global domination afterwards. And then I want the found, and I, ironically enough, I'm doing a lot of work with elementary and middle schools too, because this is where people kind of do a double take. I don't like Genius Hour for high school. It's a bad idea. Innovation should not be relegated to 20 minutes on a Friday. But I do like Genius Hour for grade schools to basically let that culture of inquiry and passion and things like that kind of grow up to maybe sixth or seventh grade. And then I think that you really need to take a look at an entire class like this.
Let's pause here for a moment for a message from our sponsors. This podcast is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. The Education Podcast Network, podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. For more great education podcasts, visit edupodcastnetwork.com. That's edupodcastnetwork.com. Better leaders, are you looking to upgrade your leadership potential? I have another free gift for you. This one is a PDF, which I call 15 questions guaranteed to unlock your leadership potential. Unlock your leadership potential now for free by texting unlock now. That's all one word, no spaces, to 33444. Text unlock now to 33444 for your free gift. 15 questions guaranteed to unlock your leadership potential. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Listen to this. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. That's right. A free audiobook download and 30-day free trial is yours at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. And now, back to our show. So going back to that, I got an idea of the culture of the class. What type of advice would you have for these superintendents, principals, teachers that want to start implementing? You said you want to go nationwide, and then we'll worry about world domination. So what are the steps people need to take to start implementing this stuff?
Number one, find out those teachers in there that are already in your building that would like kill for this. So, because they're there already. And matter of fact, when you describe this class, it sounds like the most common sense thing in the world. I remember when I first started it, people were like, how could you get away with this? And then now that it's going, people are like, wait a second. Like, if you strip everything away from what education is, like, you know, learning and being able to be driven by inquiry and other things, this is the most basic thing in the world. So step one, I would identify I'd identify who those teachers are that are really passionate about it, because they're going to be driven by this. Because here's my really inspirational moment. It's going to get worse before it gets better. If you're in the high school level. Now, if you're at the grade school level, oh my gosh, man, keep that genius hour movement. Keep it going. Keep it going. And then at the high school level, again, you know, as they put, I recommend one of the other first steps. Start off with a core group of 15 to 20 kids and say, hey, we're designing a new course, and let the students help you design it with them. Because it's so funny how so many things are so universally true that a lot of times the kids, what they come up with are really, really similar to what our innovation class is. Ironically enough, case in point, I started off this particular school year with a collect and connect session, and we whiteboarded everything we didn't like school about, everything we didn't like about school. And all the things that they listed, the exact opposite was what the class was. And it kind of made them aware of the fact that all these excuses and all the things that they didn't like about school, well, this was going to be the opposite, so you better enjoy it. So have some of the students envision what it is for you. Get those all-star teachers that want to be a part of it. And when I say all-star teachers, I'm not saying that the more traditional aren't good teachers, but you're going to have some teachers that are definitely not afraid of risk, of not afraid of taking a parent phone call of, you know, what are you doing? Because I doubt if you have a textbook, you'll have several sources of inspiration. And then other than that, I mean, also do some research, man. Get on Twitter, find the hashtag Genius Hour 20 time, whatever. See what else is going on out there. I'll shamelessly keep promoting what my students are doing. If you want to take a look at what my students are doing, you can find me at Don Wetrick. That's DONWETTRICK. I have a Twitter list, which I think it says like Innovation Students 2015-2016. Man, we need to do a better job at doing more YouTube updates. I am so insanely busy this year. I promise myself I do them every 2 weeks. We have fallen short of that goal because I'm serving the needs of my students first and not the YouTube channel. And reach out to me. I mean, I'll definitely try to help in any way I can. But the last bit I'll say to this is the superintendents and principals and teachers that want to do this, have them self-promote too. Have those kids and the awesome things they're doing. It's nice that the moms and dads and aunts and uncles of your township think that you're pretty cool. But put some of your stuff out there online, you know. Your students do amazing things. And I hate the fact when people talk about today's education, today's kids, and all this negativity stuff. Today's kids are awesome. People need to know that. And just give them the platform to show off a little bit.
I'm really loving how you're going to answer this question, because you have the class that I want to hear about when I ask it. So you can't use your class as an example.
Okay.
But what's a class we should add to our schools that currently isn't offered?
I hope I'm not going to offend the PE teachers of the world out there. There's actually a group, Justin, was it Schneider? I'm probably pronouncing his name wrong. Innovative PE. So there's a book that I read several years ago, Brain Rules by Dr. John Medina. And he convinced me that literally one of the most important things that we have in our schools is PE. Just because movement makes the brain on fire. And so when there's purposeful PE class and you want to try to bring some different avenues to it and really take PE seriously, not that people don't, there's a lot of PE teachers that take it very seriously. But if you ever had like the, or maybe you could somehow amalgamate art and PE together, that'd be amazing. Just because I love the spirit of creativity, and I love movement. I love exercise. I love what the human body produces when you move. The serotonin, the dopamine, the explosion of, you know, brain activity that happens when you walk and talk. And so, yeah, that's a really lame way to get out of that question, but that's what I'm going to do nonetheless.
I still like it. You know, I think there's a lot of opportunity in PE. I have some people that are in the CrossFit movement. I'm not in that myself, but I guess there's CrossFit for kids too. And some folks are doing that in really unique ways as well. Just like you said, to unlock what's going on in our brains so that kids can make even more powerful connections while they're in those classes. So Don, you have so much on your plate right now, so much that you can't even update YouTube, but how do you balance these things then with work, life, and family, and doing this pure genius work?
So something's got to give. And I think one of the blessings that I've had, talk about taking a risk. I'm going to tell a story within a story. The short answer is I'm married happily. I have three kids that I love and adore. And so when I get in the car, I listen to my podcast. I make some mental notes to myself. I actually carry around an audio recorder. And as soon as I get home, it's home. That's it. Nothing's going to infect that. And the funny thing is that when I was talking about risk once, that was literally me. I remember my sophomore year of high school that I'd gotten in some trouble and I was grounded. But there was always this one girl that I always wanted to ask out, and I was going to be mad at myself if I never got around to it. So I was grounded for a while, and I thought, you know what? This is the day I ask her out, because I already had this really convenient excuse on why she would say no. So I call her up. I'm like, hey, I know this sounds stupid. I'm grounded for a couple of months. When I get ungrounded, you want to go out or something? I know you're going to say no. She's like, no, that sounds great. And then I was like, wait, what? She's no, that'd be fine. And of course, seriously, had I never been grounded, I never would have asked her, what is now my wife. I never would have asked her out. So, hey, man, risk taking, even when you try to like have a really lame backdoor approach of asking her out, knowing that she'll say no because you're grounded for 2 months. But yeah, man, I made some dumb choices when I was a sophomore and got in some trouble, and nothing illegal or anything. Just that's a smart aleck. But yeah, took that risk and asked her out. Now I have three kids. So it's all good.
That? Don, what do you do for fun?
Play with my kids, watch Kung Fu Panda. Let's see, Grant is my 6-year-old, so some Lego building the other night and watching some things and going outside and playing. My two girls, just hanging, man. I don't think anything makes me happier than just when I'm with my three. And then, yeah, Alicia's my wife, and if you ever saw pictures of her, you'd see why. She's stunning and she's amazing, and so that's what I do with my fun. I literally just kind of hang out with my family.
In the show notes, we'll have linked up Pure Genius. I heard you mention Brain Rules. We have Daniel Pink, and who's famous for the book I've liked, Drive.
But yeah.
Besides those books, is there another book a principal should read right now, and why?
Oh, man. I mean, it's again hard to say because there's so many. I think if you're a principal, I really do like Simon Sinek's Leaders Eat Last. That whole mentality of that book is pretty amazing. I like it a lot. And then, you know, as a principal, also some of the things that Eric Schettinger's put out would be a great read too, especially for embracing social media and things like that. I know that he has a new book out. Daggone it. I'm so sorry, Eric. It's not coming off the top of my head. Anyway, you can put that in the show description.
It's okay. I'll look it up. We'll have that linked up in the show notes.
Sorry,
for sure.
Eric.
Who's a person you'd like to meet either in the present or past?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So two people right off the top of my head. Number one, I quoted him in my book. Few actually celebrities I ever want to meet, because I'm always afraid that they'd be jerks, right? But I want to meet Dave Grohl. And I had the chance a couple of years ago. I don't even want to go into why. It's just a terrible excuse, but I want to meet Dave Grohl in the worst way. Seriously. I love Dave Grohl, especially the way he just approaches life. He doesn't take himself too seriously. But the second one is I was interviewed by this guy named Tom Bilyeu, and he's just 100% awesome. But he kept talking about Peter Diamandis, Peter Diamandis. I was like, all right, fine. I'll see what this guy's about. Man. So I'm not one of those. He wrote Abundance and Bold. And when people can see not just the glass half full, but the glass is overflowing, that's Peter. And we live in the greatest time ever. Our students can learn from multiple sources. There's just, it's awesome. And all this negativity, and don't get me wrong, there's some bad things in the world going on, absolutely positively. But Peter is one of those guys that wants to show you of the abundance that is and the resources that are out there and that you can make things happen.
So for all the Dave Grohl fans out there, I'm going to give you a hot tip. And this is going to work out well for you, Don. You're not too far from Chicago. But Dave Grohl is friends with the owner of a very popular pizza place called Peace Pizza. That's P-I-E-C-E. And all right. Oftentimes you can find him there on the weekend. So if you want to meet him, maybe you should stop.
just camp out at Peace Pizza. Well, I mean, as long as they don't call the cops for somebody stalking you, then I might give that a try. Because seriously, although if I have to go to Chicago, I might try to meet Billy Corgan too. And if you know who Billy Corgan is, then we're friends.
Smashing Pumpkins.
All right. See, there you go.
Is there a tech resource that helps you be more effective at work?
Yeah. I mean, the craziest one is just my, the recording feature on my phone. I talk to myself a lot. Mm-hmm. I have this stream of thoughts in my head to the point where at times I think that I needed medication. At age 43, I was never labeled ADD, but I'm probably pretty sure I got it. Evernote would be great. A Google Calendar would be great. Some of these things, because that's I never had to be so methodical and planned out with requests and some speaking things and all of their stuff. So, yeah, nothing too over the top. Just the basics is what I love.
Don, you're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by budget. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you create the school if you were given a blank slate and unlimited resources? What would be your top three priorities building this school?
I'm not trying to be a contrarian by saying this. I don't want to build a new school. I want to work within it. Like, so many schools just need to be overhauled. What I want the unlimited of is an unlimited attitude of, let's try this, an unlimited attitude of, let's take some risks. So that being said, working with the public school system and private and everybody else, I'm not excluding anybody, but seeing the school as a resource for the entire community, seeing businesses and town leaders to come into our schools, work with our students, realize their potential, realize how awesome they are, and then just see our schools as innovation hubs, not to where we talk about cool things, but we do cool things. That's what I'm going to. And honestly, kudos to Noblesville. I can't unveil too much, but know that some suburb outside of Indianapolis, but we've got plans exactly like that. We're going to be using the power of city and partnering up with our students and then outside mentors. Oh my gosh, I forgot to mention that. In our class, I also highly recommend that our students work with outside experts. That's where the real magic happens. Mm. So yeah, that's my dream school, to bring the outside world in, and we do.
Don, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Parting words, just try things, man. Just try things. And if it's awful, you have the spirit of, well, that's cool, we won't do that again. How to get a hold of me? I mean, I'm pretty active on Twitter at Don Wetrick. Should you need to ask me a question in private, you can either DM me, because I'm one of those persons that if you're an educator, especially, I follow you back. I am not a fan of the guy that has 150,000 followers and follows 12. That just means you're mean. We talk about connected educators, but connected educators means we talk back and forth. I just don't talk at you. So You can always DM me. And if by chance I'm not following you in that moment and you want to get a hold of me really quick, you can always email me at dwetrick@gmail.com.
So better leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Don. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Don in the search bar, and his show notes page will pop up where you'll get the highlights of today's episodes, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. If you have an iPhone, tap on the cover art and the show notes page will magically appear. Don, thank you so much for sharing your leadership insights. And I commend you on the work you're doing with your kids. This momentum, this idea, I hope it spreads throughout our nation and the world. And thank you most of all for helping our better leaders be better.
Thank you, Daniel.
Hey, better leaders. Thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Do you want to be awesome? I know you do. Please leave a 5-star rating and review for us. Click the podcast artwork and long press the show some love link. That'll bring up a page where you can leave a review. This helps the show stay relevant in iTunes and reach a wider audience that wants to become a better leader. If you'd like to connect with me, and I would love to connect with you, there are also links in the show notes. The blog and podcast has an audience in over 100 countries. Connect with me via email, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or the website betterleadersbetterschools.com.